something went on here and something went on there.
This time on TNT.
Okay, guys, if you like Popular Girl, you're gonna love Popular Boy Manada.
And we also play the classic.
Plus, all the details on our brand new tour dates. It's all coming up right now on TNT. Okay, girls, deck only girls, c'est moi, Commander Donnie, ici. C'est le touring show Manada. Ce soir, moi pis ma femme Twix. Bonjour, Twix.
How you doing?
We're in Saskatoon to see some exciting man dance action.
Hey, girls, how you doing? Are you excited? Can't wait.
Premier sur le stage, our first performers. Okay, girls, let's hear it for Tom Cockring.
Oh, look at him go! Look at those abs, girls!
Hey, he's quite a flirt, ladies! You can look, but you cannot touch, okay?
Oh, look who else! We got another guy coming up here, ladies! It's Mike Babscock! Oh my god!
Oh, I see where he get his names! Thanks for coming to Popular Boy in Saskatoon. It's the touring show, Manada. Okay, girls, deck only girls, s'il vous plaît, ne lance pas les loonies, play toonies ce soir. Hey, Twix, who have you got on the stage next?
Hey, ladies, we got your favorite right now. It's the one and only Gary Garters.
Oh, mais he's not all by himself. Il a pas tout seul. C'est aussi sur le stage, girls. Make some noise pour Prick Moranis. The Pet Shop Boys.
Wow! Look at that guy's abs.
Absolument, Twix. It's Popular Boy Manada Touring Show avec moi, Commander Donnie, puis ma femme Twix. Saskatoon, tu veux mettre some noise? Prochaine sur le stage, next on the stage, girls, okay, girls, d'accord les girls, c'est David Pfister.
Look at the legs on him, holy moly, they're like tree trunks.
I'm so uncomfortable.
Oh my god,
with
hey!
All of this.
Guess who else is coming on the stage? It's Ike Duffy!
Ike Duffy a beaucoup de moves sur le stage, ladies! Let's hear it for Mike Duffy's! Touchez pas les marchandises, don't touch the merchandise!
And don't
okay,
forget.
Girls, c'est le temps pour votre feature dancer sur Manada! Prochain sur le stage, next on the stage, Nad Roberts!
Oh my goodness, what a... Look at the locks of hair!
Ladies, and Nad Roberts sur le stage.
Oh, we have another guy coming up. It's one of our favorites, a local. It's Lloyd Throbertson.
Oh, that's news to me, girls. Je sais pas, okay, girls, couple of guys here too. Prochaine sur le stage is a local hometown boy from the province next door. C'est Chode Krogers. What song is this?
Hey, girls! Say hi to Mr. Shiny. It's Al Waxed Man. Look at the lights just coming off him. He's glistening.
Girls, all that glitter is not gold.
Oh, we've got one more coming up on the stage. It's Ben Throtunes.
Mais Ben n'est pas par tout seul non plus. He's not by himself aussi. Your feature dancer, girls, make some noise, pool. Let's hear it for the crooner, Michael Pueble. What is that song?
It's just about to start. We're going to get into it. But here comes our favorite, It's Meltem John!
What is the song? Is it Ring My Bell?
Yeah!
Man, why is there 70 bars of vamping?
Imagine playing Hit the Post with this!
I love the idea of a touring male review. There is the Thunder from Down Under. Why wouldn't there be Manada?
Manada might be the funniest thing ever.
Well, it occurred to us, we'd done a lot of Popular Girl, but we'd never done Popular Boy.
Yeah.
And you had the idea of making it a touring review.
Yes.
With our DJ
from Popular Girl, who's only getting paid to be a DJ, he decides to branch out and try and take it across the country with Manada.
I like that he's a big dreamer.
He is.
I've spent so much time in Quebec this week. I was at, the accent comes easy. I was in Laurierville, Quebec.
Ooh.
Where the Global Strategic Maple Syrup Reserve exists. 165,000 barrels with a street value of $240 million.
That's liquid gold right there.
It is liquid gold, and it's actually valued higher per barrel than oil.
That's crazy.
One of those standard like metal barrels that you might have a fire in.
Yeah.
It's like $2,000 worth of syrup.
Well, that's a lot of syrup. Can you get one of those at Costco or something?
I don't think so, but there are only 60 authorized sellers in Quebec. Here's syrup by the stats, because this is pretty solid Canadianity.
Yeah.
Quebec is responsible for 92% of Canada's maple syrup. Wow. Quebec is responsible for 70% of the world's maple syrup.
Insanity.
There are over 7,500 maple syrup producers in the province of Quebec. That's pretty bananas.
Yeah, so there's probably generations of families that have been doing it, just crushing the old
syrup game.
Yeah.
Well, I was asking this woman, Caroline, who was showing us around, and she is fourth generation syrup worker.
Ooh.
And she said they don't tap trees so much anymore. It's mostly done on a tubing system.
Yeah.
But this is really smart. Here's what the maple syrup producers of Canada did. First of all, we ran out in 2008, and that's why we need a global maple syrup reserve.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, syrup producers got together and voted on the idea of the central syrup facility. So let's all take our syrup here. It'll be pasteurized, it'll be tasted, and it'll be graded on color. And the thing that's rare from a farmer's perspective is you actually know, because the price is set, how much you're going to make any given season kind of before you produce.
Yeah,
there's no like, you know, sometimes in typical agricultural farming, you might grow potatoes and then the market crashes and you don't end up getting much for them or something.
And isn't it true that trees can have like a bigger yield or a less depending on the year?
Like, wow, that's one question I didn't ask, but I did ask her if...
I think they do.
Like, do trees have, like people, kind of most productive years, or like, do trees ever retire? And she's like, no, as long as they're upright, you can tap them. And some of the bigger ones have like 3 or 4 taps on them.
That sounds like something Crunch, Crunch, Crunch guy would say. If they're upright, you can tap them. Crunch, Crunch, Crunch.
Yeah, he's still up for being tapped.
And
then on the same trip, I went to visit a guy named Tony de Provence, who is the one of the big Quebec trailer magnates.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really inspiring as an up-and-coming trailer person to go see this guy's empire. He's really built it up from nothing. It's quite impressive.
Is it a national RV deal?
No, he does the same thing that I do, just on a much bigger scale. He rents trailers to films and TV shows in Quebec.
Oh, wow.
But where I have, like, a few things, he has, like, several dozen things.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cool.
He takes you to the hangar, and he's like, check this out. And there's, like, some special trailer that, like, what is it, like, some old steamer or whatever they call them?
Well, just to give you some insight into the yank that Tony de Provence has in the world, he tells the trailer company how he wants the trailers built, and they do it how he wants.
Wow.
It's not like, yeah, I'll buy that from you guys. It's here, make me this, and they do.
And like these trailers nowadays that can cost like $300,000, right, to make one.
Oh, yeah, they're insane. I mean, the ones that that I deal in aren't that kind of dough.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that was cool about Tony de Provence, there were many things, but The thing that was cool in the big picture was, I am a guy he doesn't know. He barely speaks a word of English. And he was very generous with his time and with his information.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that I really appreciated about him is he said, and it's so true, why would I see you as competition if we could find a way to work together? If you eat, I eat, yeah. Everybody's eating. Isn't that the point?
That's good.
I was like, man, I love that.
Man, where's that action right there?
I know, because Tony de Provence has a couple of competitors in Montreal, but he works with them all the time.
Couple competitors? Like what? It's like the music game with the promoters?
Yeah, exactly.
Like Donald K. Donald, the big chief.
Yeah, but and he's doing a nice movie with big celebrities right now, and there are other movies going on in town, and he's okay that he didn't get them, and he lends things to the other guy and vice versa. It's the way it should be, bud.
Didn't you spend a little time in Montreal, too?
I was at the airport, bud. Airport hotel, bud.
Just that's it? One quick rip in Montreal for the night?
Well, yeah, I literally landed and drove right to the Global Maple Syrup Reserve, got back to the hotel in time to crash, and then left early the next morning. Well, no, went to see Tony de Provence,
yes,
and then flew back.
How far a drive was it to the maple syrup joint?
Two bills.
Do they have like a mass acreage there, or is it just they take it from all over Quebec and it's shipped there?
Well, they take it from all over Quebec. It is an otherwise unassuming building in a tiny village, but it has some chain link and it has high security because you might have read in the year, I think it was 2013, some grease balls, not from this facility because you couldn't pull it off, but from another off-site storage facility they had, some grease balls were skimming the maple syrup and topping it up with lake water.
Whoa.
How greasy is that maneuver?
That's more greasy than the kid at the on the weekend doing it to the booze bottles.
Oh, I know. We did that all the time.
Did you?
Yeah, with friends' parents, with the big, heavy liquor cabinets.
It's like dark rum and it's all light.
We called it moose piss.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Tiger, what's new with you folks?
The moose piss was what the parents had to drink after. You guys got the good stuff.
Yeah, no kidding. What's new in Taggart Land?
Well, you know, we're just getting ready for summertime. Soccer, swimming lessons, all that fun stuff.
I saw a picture of an exciting new purchase in your family.
What? We're getting a trampoline.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I was talking about the water-bound one.
What's that? The little paddle boat?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, it's just it actually was nice that some neighbors that moved to the other side of the lake just said, hey, do you want to keep this here?
Yes, we do.
And we're like, yeah, no problem. So now we can cruise around in a little four-seater with the paddle boats, or the old cycle styles.
Paddle boats are big fun.
They are. Especially on this little lake. It's fun.
So is your lake a no motor boat kind of lake?
Yeah, you can't have a motor over 12 miles an hour, kilometers an hour.
Right.
It has to be small for fishing. There's like trout and bass. There's a bass farm in there, so it's sensitive areas as well. It's good times.
Do you ever fish?
I did. I've fished here a couple times.
Catch something, bud?
I caught a bunch of sunfish, and then I caught one trout, and I was like, couldn't believe the difference of the fight, because I'm not a big fishing guy, but
yep.
The trout had like 10 times the strength of the sunfish, and it was the same size. Very impressed.
Go fig, Newton.
How about that, eh?
I took up fishing last summer, kind of in earnest,
mm-hmm.
and was going to get the girls into it and stuff, because I like the idea of fishing. It seems so peaceful.
Yeah.
But then I caught a couple of fish, and which I know is the point, and there were just a couple moments in front of the grist where it's like, oh, why is the hook in the fish's eye socket?
Yeah, that's
Because.
Yeah.
Isn't it going to be blind?
That's just a bad a catch. Bad. That's an unlucky catch for the fish.
I'll say.
Yeah, I throw them back. I've never eaten them, but I don't think I've got one in the eyeball yet, but I don't fish. Like I said, I don't fish much. My kids all caught a fish last year in Muskoka for the first time.
Did they dig it?
Just one of those little kid rods, and it's like you throw it in and they just jump on it.
It's really exciting. I remember as a kid, like, jigging mackerel. We had a cabin cruiser, and like, school of mackerel would go under, like, that deep, deep water in PEI where you can still see the sandy bottom.
Mm-hmm.
You just see a whole silvery school of mackerel go by, and you just dip your hook down and jig them up, bud.
Just get them?
Yep.
Just get them.
It was back in the day, though, of course.
Back in the day when you just, like, are up there and you just got them on the frying pan with a little salt and pepper.
Yep. Well, I remember one night our house was like a fish market because we got a few garbage bags full of mackerel and a couple laundry baskets full. Those scaly masks, people dropping by couldn't give it all away. It was a different time.
I remember fishing for lobsters once. That was kind of cool in Costa Rica.
How do they do that?
You got to walk around and look for... You have to go, like, at dusk so you can see their eyes under the water. You see little lights. Their eyes are... They're light up.
What?
You can see their eyes, and, like, from the... Whatever light there is, there's some glow in action with their eyes.
No.
They don't have claws. They're just spiky. Like, they don't have the big claws like your lobsters up in the Atlantic. They're spiky, and all it is like the tail, basically.
Is the meat kind of similar?
Huh?
Does the meat taste the same?
Yeah, no, definitely. But they're really spiky, and when we went, it was with some locals that did it all the time, and they were, like, fucking with me the whole time. Like, they had gloves on, but I didn't have a glove, and they would pick one up and grab it and throw it at me and like, tell me to hold on to it. And it was, like, super painful and spiky, right, without the gloves.
Thinking it was hilarious.
Yeah, and then they'd, like, pass it back to me, and they'd start laughing, but they had the gloves on. Fucking jerks. But what
We used to, at my cottage, we dug for clams and stuff and would have clam boils on the south shore of PEI. But we also would look for crabs because sometimes they would have in their little V thing on their chest that you can open.
Yeah.
Sometimes they had dimes and stuff in them because they're attracted to shiny things. Ooh. So if there was change on the bottom of the ocean, the mavs would pick it up and kind of store it.
Checking fish for quarters?
Yeah. 10 cents, a lot of money for a crab, bud.
Crabsies?
Yeah.
Did you crush them too?
Called Crabsies. Sorry, bud. Crabsies. I'm going to take that from you.
Did you crush them?
I'm not really feeling crab.
Don't you have to... Yeah, you got to boil them up and then... I don't know if I've crushed a lot of crabs either.
I'm not into crab.
It's not a lot of meat on those little crabs.
No, they're a lot of work. Although I do like lobster legs.
Kind of a bummer for them. It's like frogs. They gotta die just for their leggies.
Not really feeling that either.
No, me neither.
Not really feeling scallops either, although McKelvey's in Halifax does them wrapped in bacon and drizzled with maple syrup. I'm good to pound a few of those.
That's like just like the guy who holds his nose and drinks the vodka version of scallops.
Yeah. Yeah, I like them except for the scallopy flavor.
Yeah.
Hey, we should share with the people something happened by accident last time. You recorded on your phone without your mic.
Yeah.
And you thought it sounded pretty great.
Mm-hmm.
So you told me to download iRig, which I did.
And now you're rolling on the same technology.
I know, but I guess we'll see. This is all so new and exciting. I'll send it to Timbo.
If it sounds all shitty, then it's all my fault.
Do I send it as a WAV thing or as an MP3?
The top one. This is just the smaller one.
Sounds fine.
Yeah.
Well, why did I buy a damn mic?
I don't know. We'll see how this works.
And then why did I buy another one?
You bought two.
And then why did I buy $75 worth of egg carton foam to put in my basement closet where we kept building materials?
And I'm on the kitchen out in the open.
Can you imagine if all of a sudden I sound like, hi, how's it going?
All of a sudden, like Donovan, for real?
James Earl Jones up in his math.
James Earl Johnny.
It's summer, bud. It's finally summer.
I'm pretty fired up for the warmth. And it was cold last night, but it's warm today. Like, today feels like it's legit. It's like 25. That's perfect. Sick. And the bugs aren't kicking, but they're really getting fired up at 6 o'clock.
I want to talk about, I think it's kind of gross, but I feel like I should share this photo. I found a couple of different, three different piles of feces in my lawn.
Whoa.
And I don't know what kind of animal it is. And I know there's some bot out there who will be like, oh, it's a skunk. You can tell by how it's strung together.
Is it big?
Well, it is big by, it's not pellets like a goat deer would be.
Or a rabbit.
Oh, well, see, I don't really know what rabbit feces looks like.
Yeah, they got the little balls that go together. Little ballies.
Okay.
Is that what
this
they are?
This is shiny. And I would say they're probably the size of a walnut, and there's like 3 to 4 of them.
You look, and there's like a big, half-eaten thing of shoe polish, and that's why it's all shiny.
Yeah, and a donair.
Donairs.
Hey, let's take a break. It's my first time hitting the pause button on this new technology, and then if it worked, we'll
hit
be right back.
Hit the button. Okay.
Now?
Yeah, let's buy.
Crap.
Would you like some egg and beans? Fuck off! You're not my mom!
Welcome back, buds. It's time to play the old classic.
Get a job.
Our favorite game.
It's so dumb and it doesn't even make sense, but a bud actually requested that we play Get a Job again.
Yeah.
Remind me how it goes. It's job interview scenarios, right?
Yes,
or
yes.
Scenarios. Yeah.
Job interview scenarios.
And then we're just a couple of drummers who like improv different people in different job interview settings. A
couple of drummers just riffing, yeah.
Just a couple drummers riffing, all right.
Okay.
Who is going to be first?
I'll be the interviewer and you be the fat burger.
Okay.
Is it like a, you're not sure the gender of fat burger person?
Of my person?
The fat burger person, yeah.
I guess I always imagined she was a gal because in real life she was.
It's a girl?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so you're the manager of Fat Burger, and I am the Fat Burger lady coming in for her first job interview. This is how they met.
Okay, perfect.
So do we tee it up by saying it's time to play, or we just get right into it?
Well, we can say it. Yeah, do you want to say it?
Yep.
Okay.
It's time to play.
Ugh. Okay.
Hello?
Hi, how are you?
Good, I'm here.
Are you here for the job?
I sure hope so.
So you have any previous experience working in a burger place or a restaurant at all?
No.
Pardon?
No.
Pardon?
No.
So you mean you don't? Or you do?
No, it's a come down from here.
Okay, let's just go through some steps here. How would you say I'd like 2 cheeseburgers and a Coke?
2 cheeseburger and a Coke.
Okay.
A large Coke or a small Coke?
All right.
Coke or small Coke?
Yeah, that's a little bit. Why don't you
a large Coke?
Come over here to the grill.
Okay.
Show me how you make a burger.
Yeah, put it on. And then you flip, you get the bun, toast it up, put on some mustard and ketchup, bit of cheese, onion bits.
Hold! I've never seen such mastery. Oh my god! Hey, you got the job!
I got a job!
Yes!
Got a job!
I need you here.
When can I start?
Tonight!
Is the first thing I do, I get a fitting for a uniform!
Yes, whatever you want.
Hey, one more question.
What?
What does it pay?
Pays $12.45.
Where do I sign?
You don't have to sign. I do the signing of your checks.
Do I get paid in cash?
No.
Do I get a discount on fur?
Oh, man, it sounds like a horn. Like a trumpet in the throat.
Germatherm. Germatherm.
Germatherm. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
So the next one,
Yeah, it's time to play.
Get a job.
So dumb.
Yeah.
All right, what scenario is this one? Oh, I know what we should do. Let's do a couple dudes in a music store. And the guy who comes in for the job is trying to prove how much he knows.
Okay.
So do you want to be the guy that comes in or the guy working there?
I guess I'll be the guy looking for the job.
Okay, and it's Long and McQuaid.
It's Long and McQuaid?
Yeah. And in the, what do you want to do, the woodwind section?
Really?
Sure.
Okay.
All right, it's general sales, so you can ask about anything you want.
And that's what we have to do. Hey, I'm here for the job in this the woodwind section.
Right on. You must be Trent, are you?
Trent, yeah, that's me.
What's your name, sir? Yeah, you paged me earlier, bro. Great to meet you. My name's Scott, but you can call me Scooter. Everyone does.
Okay, Scooter, I like that. It's a cool name.
Right. Thanks, bud.
Yeah.
So listen, are you most people that work here are musicians? I kind of have side projects and stuff. I play in four bands.
Yeah.
Two kind of progressive prog rock kind of things. I play in a jazz thing on Sunday afternoons. Yeah. And then I play in how would I describe it? Like light rock with gusts up to adult contemporary cover band.
Hang on, that's awesome. Like, so what about the job here?
I play guitar, but I also play bass, and I recently started playing just for fun. I started playing drums and bagpipes.
Man, I get it. I like that. That's awesome. Like,
I guess one of the things that people like about it is that I can pretty much fix anything. I can pretty much play anything. So, like anything I pick up, I can kind of play it.
How much does a job pay?
Well, when I started here, dude, I was playing in two bands. And it was 15 years ago that I started here. I can't even believe it. Time flies by so much.
That's the guy.
That's the guy.
I remember being in many a music store and seeing that guy. You're trying to buy something and he starts talking about his band. I remember I was with my friend Greg Keplinger from Seattle, who's a legend. And we were at like Long McQuaid somewhere. And it was the classic situation where it was the guy behind the counter was playing his band on the PA or in the store.
Because he knew he was there or just by fluke?
He was just playing it anyway. Like, he was just like playing his band. He probably does it all the time. But like, Greg's standing there and he's like, is this you guys? And the guy goes, yeah. And he goes, you need to quantize this shit.
No. What does that even mean?
It's like 60-year-old speak for like get it all in time. It's all out of time. Yeah.
What did Greg say?
Huh?
What did Greg say?
That's what he said. Greg said that.
Oh, that was him. I thought you meant the guy working there said it to him.
He's like, you gotta quantize this shit.
I love nerd music stuff.
Oh man, yeah. They just
How many Micahs have you met working in music stores? Hey, are you Jeremy Taggart?
Yeah. Yeah. And you know how I like talking about gear.
Yeah. You're such a gearhead. are most guys gearheads?
I'm a gearhead in terms of I know what it is and I'm like I know all the stuff about it and I know all the different kinds of companies and stuff to make it, but I don't like want to talk about it. Maybe I did went from like, you know, 14 to 20.
Yeah.
But then you just kind of don't care about it at all. Like, when you're a kid, I used to love picking up drum magazines, and now it's like, it's the last thing I want to read, even though like I like the drummers in it and stuff, but I just, when you were a kid, you're reading it for like all the tips and all the stuff that you think is going to help you out and kind of does, but is mostly just propaganda to perpetuate the sales of the magazine.
Is that what I need? I should be buying drum magazines?
No, don't bother. Just listen to good records.
I can't remember if it was you that told me, someone did, that there's a whole stream of songs on YouTube without the drum tracks in it.
Well, that's the big thing now, YouTube drumming.
That's been so helpful.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Nice. So you just line her up. What's your favorite jams?
Well, I think my beats are okay. It's the plight of us drummers, man. It's hard to keep time, right?
Yeah.
I'm surprised at how easily I can slip behind, or more often than not, be ahead.
Yeah. Like when you do a fill or something.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, I lost it.
Yeah.
Get her back again, bud.
Yeah, but my Sowing the Seeds of Love by Tears for Fears is coming together. You'll be happy to know. It's time to play Get a Job.
I think I got it right here.
Okay. There it is.
I love that line.
Oh, I bet Hornsby gets lit up when he goes into piano shops.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You want to take a look at this Steinway I got over here? See the keys? Full on. White as hell.
I love the small town music shops, though, man.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
They love it.
They got like two sets of drumsticks and a dusty old guitar on the wall.
Yeah, and they're in like, I'm in a Yes cover band, like the Maffs.
Yeah. Those places are few and far between now, though, man. It's like, I know, but stores.
It's the same as like old timey privately owned bookstores.
Yeah. More people than ever are listening to music, yet there are no record stores.
We live in a property guy's universe, bud. And it's Fred's is still in Newfoundland, which is awesome. Difference between a record store and a music store, though.
Do you get your socks at Amazon yet?
No.
That's a big thing.
What do you mean?
I guess once people get into shopping on Amazon, they're just like, that's it. That's life. And that's happening a lot, more in America than Canada.
What do you even mean?
They just order everything through Amazon.
Like, send me socks?
And, like, I understand there's no store and everything, but, like, the amount of trucks on the road and planes in the air for this shit?
My wife received a pair of pants from some company last week that they were not pants that she ordered.
Really?
Yeah, she got someone else's pants. And the return address on it, or the whatever, the invoice, was for a woman in Winnipeg.
Wow.
They're selling so many pants, things are starting to get backed up.
Did she let her know, say, hey, you got my pants, I think?
Yes, my wife is such a sweet human that she called the retailer and said, I got someone else's pants. And they were like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Would you mind sending them back to us?
These aren't my pants.
So she did.
These are little, remember Lisa, I don't even know why I'm talking about this, but you know, Nielsen had like smaller, they tried to make, I think it was like 3 liters in the bags instead of 4 liters for three, you know what I mean? Like they less milk.
They tried to jippy on the milk?
Yeah, so then all of a sudden like the milk bag's like almost even with the top because they're smaller. So she called him up and was like, what the hell's going on? I don't like this. And they just like sent a free milk and then like a free holder for the milk saying this one might work for you. And then within, I think, 3 months, they went back to the old size.
Come on.
I guess people were just complaining, like, what are you trying to do? Make it less milk for the same price.
There are people that like don't make a living of it, but really if you write a letter to a retailer, there's a good chance they're going to do something for you.
No, for sure.
And some people pride themselves on like, yeah, I got 12 bottles of ketchup. I got, so, you know.
No, I know. And it's interesting because they kept sending like every couple months after that, like coupons for free milk. Just randomly.
How much milk do you Maffs drink?
Kids with kids, man?
Yeah.
It's got to be a bag of three every day almost, or a day and a half.
Why are you guys bagging it?
We bag it. What do you mean? They bag it in Ontario. Do you have the cartons out where you are?
You can't get a carton of milk?
You can, but it's like, what's the point when it's only 2 liters? You know, get 6 cartons of milk and stack them in the fridge?
Wait a sec. What? A bag has how much milk?
1 liter in a bag.
Yeah, so,
so you get a carton is twice that. 3 liters in a bag. Or more, I don't know. Don't talk to me about...
I see. You get a bag with three bags of... I see.
Yeah.
So how do you pinch the tip?
Huh?
How do you pinch the tip to cut it off?
You have scissors for that. And you don't bite it off. That's greasy as fuck.
Yeah, so you don't have a bag trimmer.
Like, I remember looking in the fridge one time when I was a kid, and it's all you like can chocolate, tell. Big chew on the corner.
You can tell when you have rat milk.
So you don't have bags of milk out there? You like the steets?
No, I think there are bags, but we're mostly carton folks here.
Yeah.
And I like to burn my papers.
Isn't milk expensive out east? Or no?
I don't think it's much more than you people.
$4? $5? It's around that. Sometimes $8. They got the organic shit.
I mean, sometimes if you have to go to the Irving, grab some taquitos, and they have like two liter deals for $6.30 or something.
Yeah.
It's a good deal.
It's a good deal.
This is the hot tip, though.
We're talking about milk on TNT.
I know. Carol has turned me on to Shoppers as a grocery destination, though.
Really?
I'm going to tell you something. Butter is cheaper at Shoppers.
Is it?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Well, you got to keep your eye out for everything at all times.
Starbucks coffee is cheaper. Cereal is often cheaper. I couldn't believe it. I was there to get a job, and I was there to get Kraft peanut butter, like a big thing Kraft peanut butter, half the price that it is at your Sobeys. Shoppers is the move for most grocery items, bot.
Oh, I can't. I'm starting to get so good at it.
Okay, who's our next pairing?
Let's do our favorite, Bonnie.
Ew!
And I'll be trying to get a job. What? I'll be a kid and wanting to cut her grass.
Oh, perfect.
Okay?
Yep. So it's time to play?
Oh, hold on. Say it again.
It's time to play.
It is time to play. Get a job.
This is the most poorly conceived game in history.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah. Yeah. Who's and who's this?
Hi.
Yeah. What's your name, little girl?
I'm a boy, actually. My name's my name's Lyndon.
Bit of a joker, Linda. Yeah.
No, Lyndon.
Linda, what brings you by? Yeah.
I noticed that your grass is kind of high.
My ass is what now?
Your grass is kind of high.
Oh, my grass, yeah, it is, yeah.
And I have a lawn mowing service that I would like to offer you. If you want, I can cut your grass for $20.
Well, do you have your own mower? Because I have one with the electrical cord, yeah. But I haven't had it turned on in a while.
I have
not a, the only okay. thing I haven't had turned on in a while for putting it on all out there. Linda?
What? Yeah. I have my own. I have a push one. Not electric, not gas, but the push one with the twist.
Oh, the kind that father always used, yeah.
Yeah, like the it's olden times kind.
So, I pay 10 cents an hour.
What?
I pay 10 cents an hour. What's the going rate? What did you,
I said $20.
Yeah. Well, that sounds great. Yeah, 10 cents an hour. And, well, what did you pay Charlie across the street?
He gave me $20.
Yeah, 10 cents. Perfect. So if you get it done in 2 hours, it's 15 cents, yeah. Because the first hour is 10 cents, second hour is half price for the senior citizens, yeah.
I'm going to have to say I got to go home, Mrs. Bonnie.
You must be doing this for a Girl Guide badge, are you? Yeah. Community outreach, yeah.
I'm a boy, but I'll see you later, Bonnie.
Hey, look up there. Do you see that's my friend Jose? He's a Blue Jay. Yeah. He says Josh Donaldson's back in.
Why is he flying at me? Pecking at me.
Well, he probably sees you trying to rip off a senior citizen, yeah. He says we're better off now, he says, than we were in April. He says Blue Jays are looking good, he says.
And he attacks poor Lyndon.
Poor Linda. Linda was a boy named Lyndon, yeah. I haven't been to see that Blue Jay in a couple of weeks. I'm due.
Oh, yeah. What do you think's going on?
I don't know. I think he's still there. I'm sure I would have heard otherwise.
You think?
Yeah.
Like it's not no issues.
No, I'm sure it's fine. It's just the way it is, bud.
That's it.
What do you want to do? You want to take a break or you want to play one more, get a job?
Let's play one more, get a job.
Okay.
And let me cue her up.
Okay, my name is Kelvin.
Kelvin?
K-E-L-V-I-N. And I'm coming to get a job at your hardware store.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And you're Mr. Campbell.
I'm Mr. Campbell?
Yep.
And, sorry, I was queuing this up. What's the place again?
It's a hardware store. Hardware, okay. My name's Kelvin.
And you're trying to become a cashier or something?
Yeah, just want to work at the hardware store.
All right, cool.
It's time to play. Get a job. That was your best one yet. Are you Mr. Campbell?
Yeah, that's me.
Hi, Mr. Campbell. My name's Kelvin. I sent in a resume, and I was just following up to see if that position is still available for stock boy, etc.
Yep. It's real. You got it? You want it?
I'm sorry?
You want it?
What? Was this the interview process? Because, yeah?
Hold this hammer.
That's not a hammer.
And there's a nail. Show me how you do it.
Are you okay? I'm kind of red in the face.
Hit the hammer. Do it. You want the job. Okay. You gotta hit the hammer.
Okay. There you go. Job.
This is $5.25 an hour.
But, minimum wage is $12?
$5.25 an hour, and you have to take your shirt off.
Mr. Campbell, you're not legally, no offense, you're not legally allowed to pay people less than minimum wage.
Okay, I'll pay $10, but you have to take your shirt off.
$12.25, shirt stays on after lunch.
This isn't the deal. Take your shirt off.
Mr. Campbell,
I'll take my shirt off then. There you go.
Well, with all, I mean, it's impressive the shape you're in for your age.
What do you think, babe?
Babe?
Yeah. Give me the works.
Oh my gosh. This is a hard store.
Give me the works, kid.
Gross. Give me the works.
Okay.
Mr. Campbell's disgusting. That was fun to play. Get a job. Do you have it queued up one last time?
Oh, shit. One more time for old times.
That was fun to play.
Hold on. No, I can, one more time. Okay.
That was fun to play.
Okay.
That was fun to play.
That was fun to play.
That
was fun to play.
Just for funny, says. Oh my gosh. We'll take a break on TNT 111. Be right back, Bob.
Let me ask you this right quick. You know what I mean?
Mr. Bachman, thank you so much for taking the time to sit down with me today.
No problem.
As you know, readers of Rolling Stone magazine are putting together a list of, like, all-time most important people in rock, and, you know, surprisingly, you're on it.
Oh, it makes sense to me. A lot of people up there, and most of good friends of mine.
Oh, so you know most of the people on the list without even having seen the list?
Throughout history of the people that I've met, I'm very familiar with most. I mean, from Hendrix to Jim Morrison to, you know, we're all close.
Really? So you met Jim Morrison. Let's start there.
Yes. I remember I was down there and we were out and I said, we were having a couple of beers at the Rainbow and I said to Jim, I said, hey, Jim, there's nothing I like better than an L.A. woman. And then he decided to run with that. And
I'm sorry.
They did the L.A. woman that night. I'm pretty sure they went back to Sunset and tracked that.
I'm sorry. I'm just, forgive me. There's going to be a lot of stop and start because my editor's going to ask me very specifically. So you're suggesting that L.A. woman is something that you gave him the idea for, just to be clear?
Well, you know, I mean, I, I'd, I said it, you know, I said it and then I heard it. And, I mean, he asked me to play on the track, but I just didn't want to step on Krieger's toes at the time. You know, they were having a bit of a conflict because Jim was getting a little messed up.
Yeah, so what about Jimi Hendrix? What was your experience with him, Randy?
Jimi Hendrix, it's interesting because you remember the girl who did the plaster casts of the penises?
It's a bit before my time, but I can certainly look it up.
Apparently, they say the most famous of her plaster casts and the biggest was Jimi Hendrix, where she's actually wrong because I was in the room that night and we were both getting plaster cast. And when I left, Jimmy's fell on the ground and cracked, and mine was just there. And I think she thought that for some reason that his was mine. So anyway, me and Jimmy had a lot of good times together. Yeah, he asked me to join the experience, but I figured it'd be better as a trio.
Forgive me, I have several questions. I'm just trying to take notes here as you're speaking. There's a lot of information. So, did you say something about a Stratocaster, or that was a plaster?
Yeah, it was a mold of a penis.
And so the mold commonly believed to be that of Jimi Hendrix is in fact you?
Yes, it's me. Yeah.
Okay.
But anyway, it's an interview about me, isn't it?
Yeah, so let's get to the subject of you. Tell us a little bit about how the Guess Who came together in the early days, who was responsible for getting the band together, etc.
Well, I was a kid in Winnipeg at the time, and Chuck Berry was playing in town, and he was having dinner at a diner by himself afterwards. And everybody knows that Chuck Berry, when he was on the road, he never tours with a band. He always just has pickup local musicians. I was very young at the time. I think I was about 8.
Okay.
But he gave me his guitar that he happened to have at the diner, and I showed him a few licks, and he said, "Well, I'd like to have you play instead of me tonight." He asked me to play, and he said he would just sing, and I would do the song. I just said I couldn't stay up that late. My parents are very strict, you see.
So you had the opportunity to play instead of Chuck Berry at a Chuck Berry show?
Yeah, this was in 1961.
And you were 8?
Something like that, yeah.
Was there anyone else in the diner who could, again, my editor's going to want me to back this stuff up. Was there anyone else on the planet Earth that could verify that that happened?
Well, I mean, unless you know anybody that worked at the Portage Street Diner in 1958, good luck finding.
So the Portage Street Diner, so just because I'll look it up in the city records, Portage Street Diner was whereabouts on Portage?
It's not far from Portage in Maine.
Okay.
The street actually was named after my grandfather because he used to walk so much distance on the weekends that they called him Portage Pete, and they named the street after him, Portage Pete. It used to actually be Portage Pete, but they changed it back to Portage.
So if I look up your family records, again, because I'll just have to verify and back up all these facts, your grandfather's name is Peter?
Great-grandfather. Yeah. It depends on how far you go back, but he's there.
And that was his birth, that's his legal name, Peter? Or did people just call him Pete, and that's how...
Yeah. Yeah, he actually... you know how there's 12 chords in music? Yeah. He actually created... his grandfather created the 11th and 9th chord.
Wow. That's quite the heritage.
Yeah, it's just a lot of stories. But again, I guess that's kind of about me. It's my lineage.
Yeah, so why don't you tell us about some of the more memorable encounters you had with, you know, celebrities and rock and roll figures?
Well, it depends. I mean, there was a time Elvis and I were... Elvis came backstage and I think it was at the Fillmore in 69, and guess who was playing a set with Taj Mahal? And again, Taj Mahal wanted me to fill in. I couldn't do it. I was really tired from the tour. And Elvis came, and Elvis was, he said to me, he said, "Hey, thanks for the hip thing."
Elvis Stoiko?
No, Elvis Presley.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. He said he was a big fan of a local, for some reason, our high school. He had video of our high school talent show, and he saw me dancing when I was 7.
So you're
in this
black and
white film, and
you were in high school when you were 7?
Because he had a thing for local Winnipeg lore.
And, Elvis Presley did.
Yeah, he saw me dancing, and he took my moves. The Elvis, you know, the hip thing.
So that was you too. Wow. You
were
quoted
young.
as saying,
"I didn't even know I was dancing at the time."
You were just doing you. You are quoted in Spin magazine in an article from the 1980s as saying, "When you turned down the offer to join the Beatles, you said, you know who you guys should get is George Harrison, because he'd be okay. If you can't get me, get George."
Yeah, well,
is that true? Is that exactly how it happened?
It's not exactly how it happened. Okay. It was actually Paul came to me, and I said, it wasn't George. I said, this John Lennon kid.
Yeah.
I said, this John Lennon kid that looks like he's probably got his eye on the ball musically. And it's also... It was Jimmy Page when the Yardbirds, you know, a super group having Jeff Beck with them, and obviously Jimmy Page playing guitar. They had they all were such great guitar players, and when Jimmy Page left, he decided he wanted to start his own group, and he asked me to be in the group, and that group was going to be Led Zeppelin. And at the time, it was the time that Keith Moon was in the room playing drums, I believe, and he said that thing, but it was actually me who said, "I don't really want to do this. This is going to go down like a Led Zeppelin," when I left the room.
Oh, okay. So
and,
a joke,
so,
right.
I mean, I gave them the name inadvertently, but... I wish I would have played with them, but again, they were much better as a trio musically.
Burton Cummings is quoted as saying, "You have to take everything Bachman says with a grain of salt."
Well,
what
I mean, everybody kind of knows about Burton. You can't really. He likes to tell. He likes to tell a tall tale from time to time between you and I.
Burton does.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I got a bit tired of his act in the 1970, I believe that's when I, right around when I left at the Fillmore, was because of his, he told me a story that I just couldn't handle, that it was just too far-fetched. Something about the Queen approaching him and wanting him to become some kind of Canadian prince.
Right. I'm going to give you a few quotes of things you said in magazine articles, and maybe you could just elaborate a little bit. Of Freddie Mercury, you said, "the house guest that wouldn't leave." What did you mean by that?
Well, I mean, he's a fun guy. He's very intelligent. He's very demanding. A bit of a diva when it comes to food. Just complained, didn't like what I served him. And but again, we had some really good sit downs. We did a lot of a cappella song singing. I'm pretty sure you remember Bohemian Rhapsody. That
I do,
song.
Yeah.
I mean, that was from my basement when we were just humming along.
Wait, this is important rock and roll music lore.
Started with the whole Scaramouche thing. I was just Scaramouching, kind of. That's what I used to do to get ready to go to sleep at night. I'd say, "Scaramouche, Scaramouche, if you'd a fandango."
So you...
And he just jumped on that. I tell you, I got to admit, he's such a strong vocalist, almost as strong as I am, but incredible.
So you wrote that part of Bohemian Rhapsody?
Yeah, I mean, at the time, they were just... They needed a little bit of a push. And I was okay with him taking it.
Wow. I have to say, I studied rock and roll history. It's obviously, I'm a student of the craft and passionate about it. I had no idea that you were so involved and had so many tentacles in so many formative rock and roll moments.
Well, it's not just rock and roll. I mean, there's all kinds of things that have happened to me personally that have affected the world.
Go on.
Well, I mean, when Nelson Mandela was staying at my house for a period of time in the 60s.
Nelson Mandela was staying in your house?
Salman Rushdie hid out for a majority of his time at my place. I'm in a soccer league that with Paul Allen.
Okay. I think you've certainly given me enough to get started on. Would it be okay with you if I called you back if I had any more questions, like upon my research, if I discovered that much of what you said isn't true?
Actually, you know Malala. She's coming to speak at my school nearby, so she's staying here for the evening.
Malala is staying at your house.
Yeah, she's a very encouraging girl, and I'm really glad that she's used a lot of what I've told her to kind of give positivity to the world.
So, to be clear, you're suggesting that you gave Malala subject matter for her speeches?
Well, I mean, not that. I would say more in her recovery and making her confident enough to get back to things and stuff like that.
Did you influence the U.S. election?
In terms of bigger fish to fry, there is. I don't really get into stuff like that. I don't really want to talk to that. I mean, every time Putin calls, I get a little bit nervous. You know,
Vladimir?
What I mean? I just get a little bit nervous. What?
Vladimir Putin calls your house?
Yeah, from time to time, and it's just a little bit concerning. I don't know what he knows. He's a huge. What he wants to know. He's a huge Guess Who fan. I know that. I mean, he got me to. He sent me a multi-platinum version of New Mother Nature that he actually recorded himself and put it out in Russia.
You are quoted as saying, and I will leave it here. Your biggest regret is breaking the hearts of Raquel Welch, Sybil Shepherd, and Angela Lansbury.
Yeah.
Is there truth to each of those
Welch
statements?
Sure. I mean, I'm a bit of a romantic. I mean, I continue. I don't know. I just don't know what it is. I love women. I had an issue. I couldn't. I was with J Lo for a couple of months back in 2008.
Jennifer Lopez.
That kind of lifestyle is just too fast for me.
So you were. I just really want to nail this down. You dated the singer and actor Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, we were a thing for a bit. I don't know why the tabloids don't seem to. I guess maybe she thought that I wasn't her. Her mate at the time, but yeah, we had a thing. It was quick, but I too much shopping for me, you know. I don't really like shop.
It's a shame that the world never got to know Randifer.
I know. It's we did, you know, probably the only girl or a guy she ever dated and had a bigger butt than her. Let's just say that.
Oh, self-deprecating,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Huh. Mr. Bachman, thank you so much for your time. I will be in touch if I have any questions after I verify each and every one of these facts. We have to have three sources at our magazine in order to include a fact in an article. So if I have any trouble verifying everything that you said, I will definitely be in touch.
Fantastic.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you for your time.
He's so likable. How can someone be so likable and so loosey-goosey with the truth.
Oh, I know, eh? He loves... But that's a good game. They're fun. A fun thing there, the Randy's Tall Tales.
I also, just as an overlay, I love the idea of the Rolling Stone interviews.
Yeah.
Because you could interview me as Donovan. I can interview you as Randy Bachman.
Sure.
It's great.
Love that.
You could interview me as Alan Frew. I could interview you as Brad Roberts.
Yeah.
Like, the Lost Rolling Stone tapes is amazing.
We could find out what's up with Peter Garrett.
Hey, Buds, let us know who you want to hear interviewed in the Rolling Stone interviews. The Lost Rolling Stone tapes. Hey, we have some breaking news to end the show today.
Yeah.
Sorry for talking about the book a whole lot, guys, but we're pretty fired up about it. And our publisher, HarperCollins Canada, has given us the go-ahead to release the cover. So we're going to release the cover. The book still comes out on October 17th, but we have been given permission to release the cover. It has kind of a Campfire Notebooks vibe, eh, Bod?
It's got a great vibe. It's us. It's not... it's something that I could see happening, the cover.
Me too.
You know what I mean? And the vibe makes you want to be there.
It's kind of a Campfire Notebook vibe and music vibe and Canadianity vibe. It feels really us.
It definitely does. And it ties in again, the stories and the way that the book feels, and the I guess the overall vibe is perfect with the picture.
Yep.
And we're going to release that on the Twitter and all the social media platforms when this episode drops.
In advance of the announcement of our tour dates, which is going to take us from, well, the very West Coast, right? We're going to Vancouver for the first time ever. We're going to do like a book event one night and then a live show the next night in most major cities across the country.
Yep.
And then, God willing, we'll double back and do some of the smaller markets. But Vancouver, we are coming to you in early November. And Montreal, we are coming to you in late October.
Oh, yes.
Two new places that we haven't been yet. And we're getting back to see a lot of the same familiar faces and places in the other dates in our tour announcement, which is coming up soon, Bod.
Yes, Bod. And that wraps this one up pretty nicely.
Yeah. Wraps it up like a fajita, yeah.
Thanks, Jose.
Yeah, take care, little birds. We'll see you next week, yeah.